as Election Day draws near, education is increasingly in focus, as we just heard from Kwok Siew Leong. Governor Jerry Brown has repeatedly cut funding for education and has said repeatedly that more cuts are on the way, as much as $5 billion, if voters don't approve his tax increases this November. After years of repeated budget cuts, many people are focusing on the effects on teachers, academics, and extracurriculars. But there's another part of the school day that's often overlooked: nutrition. We stopped by the cafeteria here at Burton High School, where KALW studios are located. Student Angelica Grover says she wishes more food was prepared on site.
I had nuggets and sweet potatoes. They're okay. I wish they were better, though, that they tasted like more like chicken, like actual chicken nuggets. So I do think that they should make the food on site. I think that would be a lot better because we see how they make it. Because in this, we don't actually see how they make it and what's actually in it, and we don't really know.
Across the bay, Oakland is trying to change school food to respond to concerns like Grover's. The Oakland Unified School District serves about 6.5 million meals per year. This volume makes the task of overhauling the school food system a daunting one. While Berkeley's school district has 9,400 students, with about 40% qualifying for free or reduced lunch, Oakland Unified has 37,000 students, of whom nearly three-quarters qualify, and at some schools, the number is over 90%. Given this high demand, Oakland School District recently undertook a study on how to improve its nutrition services department that's responsible for school meals. The report recommends facility improvements, fresher and more organic ingredients, and the construction of a large central commissary with an organic farm. In a district where many students eat most of their food at school, these are big issues. KALW's Jen Chien reports.
It's 5:30 p.m. at Prescott Elementary School in West Oakland, and the first wave of kids is coming into the cafeteria for supper. Kindergartners come in first, toting backpacks and showing off their missing front teeth as they line up to get chili, cornbread, vegetables, and fresh fruit.
This chili makes you healthy.
How come?
I got an apple.
It's healthy food, you know, and I really appreciate them having that.
Laura McCrae's granddaughter, Shayla, is at Prescott.
Some of us just really can't afford to send lunch and stuff like that.
Prescott is one of 9 schools in the district that have started serving supper this year. It's part of a free after-school program that about half of Prescott's students participate in. After-school coordinator Jason Peters says the hot meal, which comes at the end of the afternoon's activities, has had a noticeable effect on the students.
Because hunger is stress on your body, and when those things combine with the doubt that can come into a child's mind about whether they're going to get fed or not, it leads into their behavior.
The cafeteria is noisy, but the kids seem relaxed, eating, playing games like Connect Four or Jenga, or just hanging out.
This year, where we're seeing less of the aggression from our students, and I think some of that is attributed by our supper program and us keeping the kids fed.
Happy birthday, Beth!
Kids at Prescott are not alone in this need. District-wide, Oakland schools serve about 9,000 breakfasts per day, plus 21,000 lunches, 8,500 snacks, and, as of this past year, 500 suppers.
It's really a huge public health issue.
Ruth Woodruff is a founding member of the Oakland School Food Alliance, a group of public school parents who've been pushing for healthier food at their children's schools.
Alameda County has the highest rates of childhood obesity, and we know that that leads to secondary diseases like diabetes and puts people at risk for heart disease.
Woodruff lives with her husband and 3 kids in the city's upper middle class Rock Ridge neighborhood and says she pays a lot of attention to what she feeds her own family.
We stay away from processed foods at home. We eat, you know, we don't eat anything we can't pronounce. We try to eat locally and sustainably. We eat grass-fed when we can and, you know, pastured eggs and you know, whole foods, essentially. And that's not at all what was being served in Oakland.
She says originally she was just interested in getting more nutritious food into her own son's elementary school. But as she looked deeper into the issues, she saw there was more to do. In addition to medical concerns like obesity and diabetes that stem from unhealthy food, a lot of kids in Oakland simply don't get enough food. An empty belly makes focus and concentration difficult, and the stress of hunger can lead to depression, anxiety, even PTSD. As a result, Woodruff and other reform proponents see school food not just as a nutritional issue, but as a social justice issue.
This goes across racial and socioeconomic lines, and everybody is concerned about the food that we're feeding our children.
And, she says, school districts here in a foodie heaven like the Bay Area should be at the forefront of reform.
We have amazing food here. We get to eat some of the most wonderful food on earth, I think. And it really, you know, should be something that's available to all of our citizens, especially our children.
We've known there is a need.
Jennifer Labar has been the district's nutrition services director for 8 years. In that time, she's consistently fought for improvements in school meals.
Quite frankly, it's been slow and steady wins the race.
The changes have been incremental, but Labar is proud of them. In 2001, Oakland was the first school district in the state to ban the sale of soda and candy on campus. Labar has instituted vegetarian meals on Meatless Mondays. There are now salad bars in 62 of the district's schools and weekly farmers markets at 22 schools. And the district recently did a comprehensive study on what could still be improved. Parent Deandra Kess-McDougall, whose son often eats breakfast, lunch, and supper at Prescott Elementary, says she really appreciates this focus on healthy food.
They have a salad bar for them. They have spinach opposed to, you know, lettuce, or they have fruits and they have vegetables.
She says they already avoided soda and candy at home. But daily conversations with her son about what he eats at school have affected her own cooking.
They taught me to actually how to give him more vegetables and, you know, on how to just focus his mind on the, you know, the four different food groups and stuff like that.
Behind the Prescott School cafeteria is one of the district's two central kitchens. Here, they prepare 20,000 meals every day, in a facility that was designed for 8,000. Moves toward automation and individual packaging in the school food industry, plus declining enrollments, have made individual school kitchens financially unsustainable. So, most of the district's food preparation now takes place in centralized kitchens, where a lot of the food comes in already made. Jennifer Labar says one of the things the study found
is that our employees are not underskilled when it comes to cooking. They're underutilized. So for years, we've been paying our cooks to open up boxes of frozen food and put them on trays and stick them into the oven. And they had wonderful cooking skills. We just weren't using them.
The study also found a pressing need for facility and equipment upgrades. Recently, a section of the Prescott playground had to be removed to make room for a loading dock. The kitchen itself is crowded with boxes and heavy equipment, much of it old or outdated. The dishwasher has been broken for at least 3 years, but John Johnson, a 30-year employee of Oakland Unified's Nutrition Services, still manages a smile as he hand-washes some huge metal pans. He says he would definitely welcome upgrades to the kitchen facilities.
We got a basically small kitchen for a big operation here. And the more the space, the more the better if we can equip, you know, stuff to bring in, and we can have more room to put things instead of piling everything, you know, in one little corner.
The completed nutrition services study calls for changes like creating a 1.5-acre organic farm and garden and building a new central kitchen. 14 unused school kitchens would be turned into school community kitchens, which the public could access year-round. Now, they just have to find a way to pay for it. The school district has some existing partnerships with community organizations, and it's looking for private funders. The school board may also put a bond measure on the November ballot. District spokesman Troy Flint says that the bond would probably be $500 million.
It's a difficult decision because even though these are worthy projects, it's a really treacherous time to put forth a bond measure, especially in a city like Oakland, which has relatively high poverty levels and high taxation already. But this is an investment in our future.
Still, Jennifer Labar says she feels optimistic.
The time is right. You know, I think if we can't find funding sources, given the climate about people's, you know, people are really concerned about children's health and specifically around the National School Lunch Program. And if we can't find funding sources now, then there's a big problem in the world.
And parents like Deandra Kess McDougall say the investment is worth it.
It all depends on what we eat at home. You know what I'm saying? So if we see them getting nutritious food at school, then that would change our recipes at home because it's changed mine a lot. A lot.
The kids are already on board.
Yeah? Tell me why you like apples.
Because they're juicy and healthy for you.
I like apples because they're crunchy.
Why do you like apples?
Because they're good and good for your body.
In West Oakland, I'm Jen Chien for Cross Currents.